Josephine!
Yes, what is it, Napoleon?
What are these men's boots outside your boudoir?
Oh, those? They're Wellingtons.
Whenever it's summer, have your fun. Dive in the nearest pool. Never go out in the midday sun. Just play it cool. Life is a challenge, so they say. It can be kind of cruel. So be prepared in every way. Something to say is the way that you say it. Not how you play, it's the way that you play it. Play it cool.
How do you do? This is Ian Carmichael again with another edition of Play It Cool. Well, our cast is as usual this week. Hugh Paddock, easily distinguished by the golfing socks which he wears around the studio. They are golfing socks, aren't they?
Yes, 18 holes.
Mr. Paddock, incidentally, hasn't broadcast much lately due to ill health.
He makes people sick.
And that, of course... And, of course, was Miss Joan Sims, who started her show business career as a lyric soprano. That is, until she was arrested.
Now I'm much more careful about my choice of lyrics.
Well, that's the three of us, and now on with the show. Every year, the film festival is held amid the glamorous and luxurious setting of Cannes and attracts a host of famous film stars. But why can't they hold a film festival at an English seaside resort? We feel sure that the big screen celebrities would enjoy themselves equally well at Mrs. Sprockett's boarding house. Well, I'll tell you this much. I've been coming to Mrs. Sprockett's for now in 20 years, and I've never seen anything like this. My God. Think I've shared a kipper with Doris Day. Well, I hope you're having fun, Mr. Heston.
Oh, please call me Jordan.
Look, Mr. Hardcastle,
yeah?
Where's the action? Isn't there a casino in this town?
Well, now if it's a bit of gambling you're after, well, there's bingo.
Excuse me, please, but what is this bingo?
Well, it's not what you think, Miss Bardo. mind you, it can be quite a lark.
Mr. Hardcastle, you have the most fascinating ears.
Oh, I say, now, hang on. Watch it. No offense, Miss Bardo, but would you mind leaving them alone?
But I'm only tickling them with my finger.
Oh, they'll never believe this back at the factory. Here, watch it, Bridget. Here comes Mrs. Sprockett.
And what kind of debauchery is this going on in my lounge here, Mr. Hardcastle?
Hello, Mrs. Sprockett. I was just...
Yes, I've got eyes, Mr. Hardcastle. Really, I don't know what's got into you this year.
Ooh, look here. Look, who's this coming up the path? Oh, is that Yul Brynner and his brother?
No, it's Gina Lollobrigida. Matter of fact, I passed her on the landing this morning. Just about, that is.
Yes, that reminds me. Miss Lollobrigida, I'm sorry I can't do your ravioli for high tea. You'll have to have the same as everyone else.
You know, Mrs. Sprockett, it would be nice to have a little delicacy now and again.
Well, I don't know what you've had in cans, but over here it's baked beans. And by the way, I would be obliged if you'd have a quiet word with Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin. I've made it quite clear, no visitors in the rooms after 10 o'clock.
If you ask me, Mrs. Sprockett, those two come to the wrong place. They should have gone to Norfolk. They keep asking me where the Broads are.
Yes, well, film stars or no film stars, I have my rules.
Oh.
I am not an unreasonable woman. I've already turned a blind eye to the midnight bathing in the goldfish bowl. But I am not having that Liz Taylor spending 3 hours in the bathroom.
Oh, that's why I couldn't get in there this morning.
It wasn't for want of trying, was it, Mr. Hardcastle?
Goat's milk, indeed. She'll use yellow carbolic and like it.
Well, what are we all going to do tonight, eh?
Why don't we have a party, eh, Mrs. Sprockett?
Aren't you lot ever satisfied? You've had a whist drive on Wednesday, and tomorrow it's a coach trip to the fairy grotto.
Oh, come on, let's have a party.
Ah, I won't do any harm, Mrs. Sprockett. Don't you fancy playing charades with Cary Grant? Hello, 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 hello. Not time for IT yet, is it?
Oh, who's that playing around? Leave that gong alone, Mr. Rank. And kindly go and get some clothes on. Honestly, I just don't know. And where do you two think you're off to?
I'm going upstairs with Mr. Hardcastle.
Ah, that's right. I've promised to give Bridget a stick of rock.
Now, what about that party?
No, I'm afraid not, Mr. Eston. Not everyone approves of drinks on the premises. That Mr. Trevor Howard might object.
Oh, gee, I wish I was back in Beverly Hills.
I have done my best. Of course, I just can't understand why you've come here in the first place.
Well, you know why, Mrs. Sprocket. This happens to be a film festival.
Yes, but we don't even have a cinema.
Theme of film festivals, it's always interesting to observe how differently the various countries approach the subject of their films.
For instance, take a simple common theme like husband, wife, and the other man, and we'll try and show you how we think it should be handled by certain filmmakers.
Firstly, America. Well, we feel Hollywood would come up with something like this.
My two husbands.
Good morning, darling.
Oh, Brad, stop that. Here's your orange juice, honey. Brad, honey. No, leave my neck alone.
I like kissing your neck. It's a nice neck, and I have every right to kiss your neck. After all, I am your husband.
Yes, you're my husband. Oh, Mrs. Brett Carter, I still can't get used to it.
Been a whole week now, Julie.
No, honey. 1 week, 2 days, and 13 hours.
Happy?
Oh, Brad. I've never been so happy. Darling, is it right that one person should be so happy?
Come here, Julie.
No, Brad, no. Not now, darling.
Don't answer it, honey.
Brad.
They'll go away.
Brad, let me go. It's the door.
Okay, but hurry back. May not survive without you.
Okay, okay. Paul.
Hello, Julie.
Paul, I don't know what to say.
Well, you could say come in.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Ah, gee, it's good to see you again, Julie.
Paul, I thought...
Yeah, I know, Julie, I know. You thought I was...
But I just can't believe it. On the boat, on our honeymoon cruise, you fell into the water. I saw you fall.
Yeah, well, it's a long story, Julie. I managed to swim to an island. I lived there for 3 months, and then... Ah, what does it matter? I'm here. That's all that matters. Oh, Julie, gosh, I miss you.
No! No, Paul! Mm. No, you mustn't!
What, Julie? There's something wrong, isn't there?
Who is it, honey?
Brad, you'd better come on out here.
You didn't waste much time, did you?
Paul, you must understand. I thought you were...
Well, introduce us, honey.
Paul, this is my husband, Brett. Brad, this is my husband, Paul.
What are you saying, Julie? You can't have two husbands. This is America, remember?
Brett, I know it's not easy, but you've got to understand. I thought Paul was...
I'm beginning to think it would be better if I was.
Don't say that, Paul!
Okay, so this guy was your husband, but I'm your husband now. Julie, you're my wife.
She is my wife, too.
Divorce her.
I married her first. You divorce her.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it, you two!
Oh, this is a fine mess. What are we going to do?
Nothing. Well, I guess it's up to Julie.
I need time to think.
And so she takes 2.5 hours screen time to make up her mind. Well, so much for Hollywood. And finally, the British film version.
The Gooseberry Summer.
Melissa, there's something we've got to get straightened out.
Well, you bent the garden fork, not me.
I don't mean that. This is pretty serious.
What is it, Charles?
That weekend you spent with Aunt Carolina, I had you followed.
Oh.
You went to a hotel in Maidenhead and you weren't alone. You registered together, you went up to the room together, and you stayed there together.
Well?
I've been driven mad with uncertainty. Melissa, I've got to know.
Very well, Charles. I'm having an affair.
I think I've known all along.
Oh, I didn't want it to happen. I never meant for it to happen. I'd have given anything for it not to happen. But it happened. Who on earth that?
Nigel.
What?
I asked him to come here.
Charles, please. I beg of you, don't let's have a scene.
We're sensible people, Melissa. I'm sure we can be adult about this. Come in, Nigel. 12. Melissa.
He knows Nigel.
Of course I know Nigel. Hello.
Hello, how do you do? Now, look, Charles,
It's all right. You don't have to say anything.
Why shouldn't I? You've got a much bigger part.
Oh, I didn't want it to turn out this way. Oh, I don't know. Where did we go wrong?
In a hotel in Maidenhead, I think. I thought you knew.
Nigel, I'm talking about Charles and I. Charles, one favor.
What, Melissa?
Jeremy and Sally. They don't need to know, do they?
No, I don't see why we should have to tell the horses. But, Melissa, where will you go?
That won't be necessary. I am going away.
Away?
Yes, Melissa, I have decided to become a missionary. I leave tomorrow.
Where, Nigel?
Swiss Cottage.
You will write, won't you?
No, I think it's best if I don't. Let's just chalk it up as an experience. A very, very lovely experience.
Goodbye, Nigel.
Goodbye, Melissa. Charles, and good luck.
Well, what's going to happen to us, Charles?
I've been thinking it over carefully, Melissa. Put a few things in a bag.
We're going away together?
Yes.
Where, Charles?
Well, there's a little hotel in Maidenhead, and I...
Thank you, the Mike Sam Singers. Now let's turn our attention to the glossy world of the theatre and to some of the real-life drama that goes on backstage.
Yes, we take you behind the glitter and glamour of the footlights and into the bitter, ruthless world known as the grease paint jungle.
The name is Merton Brooke. As an actor-producer, I have something of a reputation in the theatre. The affair of Madame X, a woman possessed and a passionate lover. That's enough about my personal life. The story I have to tell concerns a brilliant and truly great actress. Sort of female me, really. It all started on the last night of our triumphant appearance together in Tea and Timothy. After the show, there was a party. Well, darling, tonight was the final curtain.
Yes, Merton. You and I, we've played 1,200 performances together. We've shared those familiar lines, played those tender love scenes, had those cozy little suppers in my dressing room, and now it's over. Oh, Merton, I feel so... Oh, I don't know what's the word. Glad.
Just think, we're both 3 years older now. Mm. You realize that makes me 27.
Oh, really? You're not 27.
No, I know. I soon will be there.
Well, what next, Merton?
Oh, I've got a couple of new plays. One is The Silver Coffee Pot.
Any good?
Needs a bit of polishing. I think we should do that.
Hello, darling. I say, who's coming on to my party? Absolutely everyone's going to be there. Sir John, Sir Harry, Sir Rafe, Sir Alec.
Oh, no, thanks, sweetie. I get so tired after those all-night parties.
Forgive me.
Yes?
Haven't I seen your name in lights? Aren't you Ulia Arker?
The name is Julia Parker.
I'm so sorry. May I be permitted to say that it is indeed an honor to be standing close to someone so gifted, so glamorous, and so radiantly beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Darling, I think he means me. You're very kind, Mr.
Courtney, Clive Courtney. It's funny, Miss Parker, but seeing you here and now and in that tight-fitting gown, it's hard to think of you as a straight actress.
You know, Clive, somehow you're different from the usual admirers.
Well, I'm not the sort of person who becomes infatuated easily. I've only ever been in love with two actresses. You and Peggy Mount.
Now, look here, young man, what do you do?
I'm an actor, Mr. Brooks. Of course, I wouldn't presume to compare myself with you.
No.
I'm much younger.
So you act, Clive. What have you done?
Well, my last play was one of those rather nasty, sordid little stories, you know, full of sex and violence.
What was it?
Noddy Gets Into Trouble. As a matter of fact, I did hear that the chap who played Noddy and the girl who was playing Cuddly Doll...
Really? How'd you know?
I was big ears.
Look, Clive, I'm having a few people down to my place for the weekend. Here's the address. It's a country mansion, 40 acres, riding stable, swimming pool. Nothing ostentatious. I'd love you to come.
Thank you, Miss Parker. I shall look forward to that.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Julia. Julia, be careful. I've seen that look 1,000 times before.
He interests me.
He's a young, ambitious actor, Julia. He's probably just after a part.
Yes, but which part?
What a simply heavenly place this is, Julia. And what a novel idea. All the garden furniture made out of beer barrels.
Oh, I'm glad you like my bittersweet. Have you seen Clive anywhere?
Yes, there he is. Look, just coming out of the pool.
Oh, yes. Oh, Clive! Darling! Hello. Had a good swim.
Rather. The water in the pool is just the way I like it. Full of girls.
You naughty boy. You are just a boy, aren't you? Now come here and kiss me.
Oh, now, Julia, please. Please don't laugh.
I can't help it, Clive. Your moustache tickles.
Julia, it's no good. I can't keep up this pretense. The truth is... Well, last night, those things I said, I was only acting.
Oh, Clive.
I'm afraid it's true, Julia. You see, I'd do anything to get into the theatre. Anything. Anything, Julia. I have got to have a part in your new play.
But Clive, I don't even know if you can act.
Well, how about that last bit I was doing?
Very well, I'll speak to Merton. Mind you, I can't...
There you are, Julia. I'm sorry I'm late. I got caught by the press. Well, you shouldn't have put your trousers on while they were still in it.
Merton, Clive and I have been discussing the play here by the pool. Could you cast him in it?
With pleasure. Which is the detail?
Mr. Brooks, there is a part for me in this play that could have been written for me. Look, you've just got to let me play Manville.
What?
I know I can do it, Mr. Brooks. I know I can. Look, I'll work hard. Believe me, I will. Look, you must give me a chance to play Manville.
But this part calls for great experience. I've no idea what you can do.
I have.
I'll do something for you now. Yes, I'll do something for you now. That's right, Mr. Brooks. just listen to this. An excerpt from Pygmalion.
Oh, all right, off you go.
Oh, I'm getting married in the morning.
Thank you, that's enough.
Look, Merton, as a favour to me, let him play Manville, please.
Well, all right, but it'll mean extra rehearsals.
That Mandrill character must be absolutely right.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Brooks.
So we went into rehearsal. Weeks of hard work, out-of-town tryouts, and then opening night. Backstage, there was the usual air of tense excitement. Clive, are you terribly nervous about going on tonight?
No, not really.
Are you sure?
Yes, quite sure.
Then what are you doing in the ladies' cloakroom?
So sorry. Off stage, please. 5 minutes, please. Miss Parker, where's Mr. Brooks?
They're coming. Here I am.
Good luck, Merton.
And you. Oh, dear, I'm awfully worried about Clive. All through the tour, he's been forgetting his part. I told you we shouldn't have entrusted him with the Mandrill part.
Now, don't worry. He'll be all right.
Stand by. Curtain going up.
Oh, it's you, Simon. Thank heavens you're back.
What's the matter, Alison? You look frightened.
It's Mandrill. He's coming here tonight.
Is he still...
Yes. He's blackmailing me.
What an ugly word that is. Then he has the letters.
Yes.
So it's you, Mandrill. Well, you won't get away with
Simon,
it.
Simon, no! Don't shoot!
That was Plain Cool, another sort of radio show which involved Ian Carmichael, Joan Sims, and Hugh Paddock. The cool music was provided by Rosemary Squires and the Mike Sam Singers, who were accompanied by the Ken Horn Orchestra. The script was by Eric Merriman, and the show was produced by John Simmons.